Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say the only thing on screen he hasn't reviewed yet is the teletext. It's Mark Zibby.
Hello.
Hello. Your thoughts on teletext?
Is it still running? I don't think it is, is it?
I don't know. It's been a while.
It's been a while since I've looked on there for holidays and the football scores. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, slower than you'd imagine. And I felt like the drama was just missing.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We can review teletext. It's no problem. Listen, to be honest with you, at some point, somebody is going to make a movie about teletext.
Oh, probably. The whole thing told in teletext.
Yeah, well, no. A movie about teletext. They're making a movie about Play-Doh. So if they can make a movie about Play-Doh, they can make a movie about teletext. And that's not a joke, by the way. They genuinely are making a movie about Play-Doh. And it is co-written by one of the co-writers of The Big Sick. If anybody's seen that comedy, which is brilliant. It's a really fun movie. They brought in one of those. And I'm like, at first I was like, a movie about Play-Doh, that sounds terrible. And then when they showed the writers, I was like, oh, Emily Gordon's writing it. Well, I'm kind of interested now.
Well, there we are. I can't wait to see that one.
Well, exactly. I mean, what do we expect? I don't know.
I wonder what they'll manage to mould that story.
Oh, no.
Oh.
We'll keep a lid on it. Sorry.
Brilliant. How are you, Mark?
Yes, I'm very well, thanks. Very well. Good.
Good, good. What you got for us this week?
Well, let's start with an animated movie that is in cinemas now. It's called The Bad Guys.
The Bad Guys.
Yes, it's about several reformed yet misunderstood criminal animals who attempt to become good with some disastrous results along the way. Yes. So this film is directed by Pierre Perefell. Now, this is his first full-length animated feature film as a director. I mean, he's worked on animated films before. He's done. He's been in the animation department for Kung Fu Panda, Rise of the Guardian, Shrek Forever as well. He's done a couple of short movies as well. So, you know, this guy knows his way around animation.
Yeah.
Which is great because I think with this movie, he uses all of that knowledge, puts it into this film, and what we get is a really funny, hugely entertaining animation film. But I don't think this is aimed at kids.
No?
I don't. I mean, you've seen the trailer.
Interesting.
I haven't seen it. I think it's aimed at teenagers onwards, really. I think mainly I think that's because the central characters are they're much more adult centric. You know, it feels a bit like an animated feature film for the grown-ups a little bit, which I'm all for because we do miss out on those a little bit. I've got to be honest.
We'll watch the animated films anyway.
Well,
try and pretend we're too cool.
Yeah, exactly.
We do.
Yeah,
we
exactly. Do. Yes. So yeah, I think this is a movie that's aiming for a certain market. It's not going for the Pixar market. It's going for the teenagers onwards market, which I think is great, to be honest with you.
Nice.
I love the central characters in this. So the central characters are Wolf, Snake, Tarantula, Shark, and Piranha.
Okay. Yeah, they're all generally bad animals.
Exactly. See, you've got it. Yeah. You've got it. They are genuinely bad animals. They are animals that people are afraid of as well. So you can see why it makes perfect sense to have them as the bad guys. But the thing is, you do root for them a little bit because they're such a ragtag bunch. So, like, Wolf is Mr. Smooth Talker. Tarantula is the IT nerd. Snake is sneaky. Shark is actually a teddy bear. I mean, not literally, obviously. And Piranha is slightly strange and slightly angry, shall we say, is the best way of describing him, which is brilliant. You know, so all of these characters fit into the molds. It's so strange, you know, because this is a heist movie, right? But it's with animals. But all of these animals all fit into the molds of the characters you would get in a heist movie. In terms of humans, okay? So
you've got George Clooney, you've got Matt Damon.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's the thing. You can sit there and you can go, okay, I mean, Wolf is easily George Clooney. If we're talking Ocean's 11, Wolf is easily George Clooney. Tarantula, the IT nerd, Matt Damon, I would suggest. There might be, you know, but you can easily pinpoint them all. That's the great thing about it. And, you know, the thinking about Ocean's 11 is kind of like Ocean's 11 crossed with Zootropolis. I mean, I loved Zootropolis. Cool. I thought that was a great film. So it's this strange mix that I think is great. I mean, the central message here, obviously, is bad people can turn good. The thing is, as well, I mean, you and I have spoken a lot about, you know, when certain animated movies or kids' movies hammer home the message. Don't forget the message, kids. Don't forget the message. You're going to love the message. This one doesn't really do that. It's kind of, it's there, but they don't hammer it home. They just go, hey, don't forget, you don't have to be bad. You can be good, you know. And I like that about it. It doesn't lay it on as thick. There are some neat twists and turns in this movie as well. I think, you know, the fact that there are some really interesting twists in it as well is the reason why this film should be spoken about a little bit more than the normal movies, to be honest, with your normal animated movies, because you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's the type of twist I would expect to see in, as you said, you know, Ocean's 11 or something like that.
Yeah, they don't usually go for big twists in
no, not really. You know, it's very much, here's a little twist just so everybody can understand it. But no, this one's got quite a few in it, actually.
Yeah. Excellent.
The animation. Got to talk about the animation quickly as well. It's very different. Very different. It's quite sleek. Yeah. It's got this, it's weird because it's got kind of got this like smooth background. And then the characters are equally smooth, but they're almost like they've been rotoscoped into it. So like they've used live animals or live humans and then drawn over the top of them. You know, I mean, let's be honest, it's tough to make standout animation these days. I think Disney Pixar have cornered the market and that's about it, because everybody wants to see stuff like that. This is different. And I really do think that Pierre Perifel and his animators on this movie have really succeeded in making something look different. As I said, it's slightly unusual and rather wonderful, actually. And I think maybe that's the entire movie, to be honest. Slightly unusual, yet rather wonderful and really funny.
Excellent. Oh, it's good to hear it's funny. It's one of those you see the trailer and you think that sounds good.
Yes.
Is that all the best bits in the trailer?
See, that's the thing. I saw the first trailer. I thought, I'm interested here. I'm interested because of the animation, because of the characters, and because it did kind of look fun. And it is fun. It really is. I've got to say as well, the voice cast is brilliant here as well. Mark Maron's fantastic. Craig Robinson is great. Awkwafina's fantastic in it as well. You know, every single voice character fits perfectly.
Fantastic. So the bad guys turned out to be the good guys.
Well, I mean, that's the point of the movie. But don't think you're going and they're going to turn out to be good guys, okay? As I said, twists and turns along the way.
Good guys don't always wear white. It's all a bit, it's all a bit blended these days.
It's all a bit, you're not too sure who is on the level here.
What is good anyway?
Yes, exactly. Awesome. So exactly.
Where?
So this is in cinemas now. Or? It's in cinemas, yeah.
Excellent. Take the kids and you can enjoy it as well.
Yeah, well, as I said, I don't think it's for kids. I think it's for teenagers upwards because it's not, it's not, there's lots of laugh out loud moments, but not as many as you would expect. I was at a screening. I saw this at a screening with families on a Sunday morning. There was lots of kids there, lots of young kids. And while they were watching it, I don't think they were enjoying it anywhere near as much as if they were watching Minions or something else like that.
Okay. So you're expecting an older audience here?
I think so, yeah. Do you know what? Maybe the audience who enjoy Rise of the Guardians, which, by the way, is another brilliant animated movie. Anybody who likes that movie will like The Bad Guys.
Gotcha. Cool. What else you got for us?
So on DVD and Blu-ray, we're going to talk about Broadcast Signal Intrusion. This is set... We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Just in case people don't know what it means, we'll come to it. So this is set in the late 1990s. Where a video archivist unearths a series of sinister pirate broadcasts and becomes obsessed with uncovering the dark conspiracy behind them.
Oh, okay. Spooky.
So, you know, it's funny as well, because when you think about it, there's a lot of, recently, over the past 18 months, maybe 12 months, there's been a lot of films set around video nasty scandals and or video nasties from the 90s. Clearly, they're very much in vogue. You know, I mean, I'm talking about The Excellent Censor, which came out last year. TV show on Netflix, Archive 81, which came out this year, which I think is very good as well. Now we've got Broadcast Signal Intrusion as well. However, this film is slightly different because it deals with supposed breakthrough moments in television. So, yeah, you were making the crackling sound there. So if, for anybody who doesn't know what a broadcast signal intrusion is, it's basically where somebody breaks into an actual feed of something, as in, you know, if you're like we're live on air now, if somebody breaks into it and starts broadcasting something completely different. Okay.
Starts playing Spice Girls in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe not quite that, but hey.
It's equally scary, but for different reasons.
Yeah. The easiest way of describing it is, you know, when Joker breaks into TV transmissions in Gotham City to threaten Batman, that's a broadcast signal intrusion. However, here's the thing. There have been real broadcast intrusions through the years, mainly in the United States, I will say that, but they are real things.
Oh, it really happens.
It really happens.
It's not just in Hollywood.
No, it really happens. So this film takes the idea that these intrusions were actually showing some disturbing images of people and what they were doing. Some of the imagery in this movie is really haunting. And it's rare.
The trailer. I can't sleep at night.
See, I'm thinking there's no way Stuart's going to watch this movie. No way at all.
No.
I mean, even the poster alone is quite scary. And, you know, it's rare that I find a film that does that. You know, it's one of those movies. And yeah, the intrusion footage is both scary and fascinating because I kind of wanted to know more about it. But I also didn't want to know more about it. That's the thing. Like, the film plays out as kind of this cat and mouse game that veers between horror and sci-fi. And it does it loads of times as well, moving between it all. And it does it with relative ease as well. I mean, I was never sure which genre this was operating in at all. But it didn't really matter because of how quickly it was switching it up and how well it was doing as well. The main guy in this, it's Harry Shum Jr. He plays James, who's the video archivist. Have to say, I felt every bit as confused and addicted to finding out the real truths as this guy did as well. I was following his lead every step of the way. And, you know, even the moments where he found himself really tied up in knots because he wasn't sure what was going on and he'd been led down different paths, I was like, I'm feeling that as well, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is a movie that if you become interested in the actual subject matter of breakthrough transmission, then you're going to find yourself extremely hooked on this film.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And okay, also, so you've seen the trailer, you've seen the poster as well.
Yep.
The imagery of the breakthrough intrusion is, it's like a mask, but it's not. And it belongs to a character called Sal E. Sparks. Okay. Sal E. Sparks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think this character and that look is something we are going to be seeing for a lot longer to come because it is one of these iconic horror images.
Like in your nightmares kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So I think we're going to be seeing it used a lot because it looks scary. And also what it stands for in this movie as well is really scary. Really scary.
Let's hope we don't see it on our TV screens just like interrupting the signal.
Well, you'll see it if you watch the film, so that's fine. But then if you stop the film and you continue to see it, yeah.
Okay. Then there's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Look, this is a really creepy film. Really creepy. And it's a really good standout horror movie as well.
Excellent. If for those who enjoy it, then so broadcast Signal Intrusion.
It's on DVD and Blu-ray, or it might just break into your feed at some point. It'll
pop up on your screen.
It might just do that. Yes, yes, absolutely.
What a marketing campaign that would be.
Oh, could you imagine? Amazing.
That'd be great.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. It really would be. Yeah.
I'd never turn the TV on again in my life if it happened.
Throw it out the window. That's it. Yeah. Done. Yeah.
That's the end of that. Excellent. What else you got for us, Mark?
So, I thought we should talk. Now, we've done different types of movies, and we've done lots of alternate types of movies as well. I have never reviewed a movie like what we're about to review, okay? So this is a film. Well, I'll come to it. It's called Coppelia, and the synopsis reads like this. When everyone in town falls under the spell of charismatic cosmetic surgeon Dr. Coppelius, feisty Swan must save her sweetheart Franz before his heart is used to spark into life Coppelia, the robot woman the doctor has created.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That's a big old, yeah.
That's a lot to take in, okay? As I said, I've never seen a film like this. I've never reviewed a film like this because this is a live action / animation hybrid where some of the characters are humans and others are cartoon characters. The backgrounds are all animation, as too are the foregrounds, except for like the odd lamppost and bicycle and the humans in it as well. I mean, it's quite the spectacle, really.
It's kind of strange, isn't it? A bit jarring.
Yes, I will say that once you get used to it, it is quite a feast for the eyes. I mean, I could have happily watched the background animation for the entire film because it looks gorgeous, and it's got a very grown-up style to it. It's kind of like, here's the thing, it's kind of like a mixture of Studio Ghibli's work and also something you might see on Sesame Street.
Yes, that's what it is. I was trying to feel. I feel like I'd seen this in my childhood.
Yes,
at some point.
You feel like you've seen it in your childhood and in your adult life as well. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the actual story, it's non-verbal. Everything is done through gestures, which are normally ballet gestures or movements as well. So it's a little bit of an art house film on some level. However, it's really easy to follow. And I think that's down to the cast making it easy due to their really entertaining dance moves. Also, I very much enjoyed watching Dr. Coppelius because he reminded me of Jim Carrey in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah, I thought the same.
Yes.
I thought the same.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the moustache.
Yeah, a very dastardly villain with a big twirly moustache as well. Big gestures. So I really enjoyed watching him. Do you know, here's the thing as well, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, it reminds me of Metropolis as well, like Fritz Lang's iconic 1927 silent movie, because the film has this thing of bringing a female robot to life to rule over the working classes, which is something that was expressed in Metropolis nearly 100 years ago when that film was first released. So Coppelia is using that as a framing device, which I think is really interesting. And I think on a couple of other levels, the story and the visuals do take their lead from German expressionist cinema of the 1920s and 30s. You didn't think I was going to say that, did you, Stuart?
I've really done this film? No.
No. No, I mean, you've seen the trailer. What did you think?
I thought it reminded me, of my childhood. I'm sure there's something I've seen with this style of animation. Yeah. I found it kind of odd that this was a 1 hour and a 22-minute film to do this in. But kind of clever that it's all, I got the impression it would all be dance, sort of told through dance, because you couldn't hear any voices in the trailer. Mm. Interesting. I'm interested to see this.
It's a movie that I think is better suited for an adult audience. I do think there are some good bits in there for the kids as well. But you know, we were just talking about the bad guys and how that's aimed for teenagers upwards. Anybody who's really into Disney Pixar or Disney animation or something like that, they may find some bits in here. I think the animation's lovely. The characters, I don't know beyond Dr. Coppelius. I don't know if anybody's really going to like any of the other characters, I've got to be honest. It's such a unique film. It really is. It's a unique piece, and I'm really pleased I saw it. I mean, it's such a strange movie. It's a unique movie as well. Maybe it'll get people into ballet. I don't know.
Yeah, something different entirely.
Yeah, something different entirely. I think you're right there. It is something different. It really is. And that, to me, is always good. Whether it works or not, at least it's something different.
Yeah. So where is this out?
So this is in cinemas, which I've got to say, you know, in cinemas is not bad. You know, can you, I mean, the colours on the screen, popping off the screen and the dance, it's a good idea to pop it in cinemas. I've got to be honest.
Yeah. Do you think people will be expecting something different, though? I've heard that from the advert on the poster.
I think...
Looks a little La La Land.
That's a good question. I think people might be expecting some dialogue, which you won't get, as we said. It's non-verbal.
Yeah, sounds not working.
Yeah. but maybe that's just it. Maybe that's just it. I mean, the poster is not... You know, it doesn't stand out as saying, hey, this is a film all for the kids and whatever else, because obviously it's got a ballet... sort of pose in there as well.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, the posters are a very good representation of what this movie is, which is it looks brilliant, but it is veering towards art house. And as I said, for some reason, veering towards German expressionist cinema, which is no bad thing in my book, because I'm a big fan of that cinema movement.
Awesome. Something different in that week then. We've had two very different weeks here, which is marvellous. What you got for us next week?
Next week. Okay, we'll get back on the normal path next week. So next week, Fantastic Beasts, The Secret of Dumbledore.
Oh, his secrets are out now.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh. So yes, Fantastic Beasts 3, as some people are calling it. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about the new Ethan Hawke movie, which was shot during the first lockdown in Italy, where he is an army sergeant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shot on the streets of Italy during the lockdown.
Wow.
And then that was yeah. And then for podcast listeners, we will talk about Andrea Riseborough's film Luxor, which has been sat somewhere for about 2 years on a shelf or something like that. Andrea Riseborough, for me, always a great actress. Anytime she's popping up in something, I will watch it. I think she's great. But this one is a drama. It's a drama.
Excellent. I shall get my Fantastic Beasts ready to unleash upon the podcast
and
next week.
Yes, yes. And I'll help you find them.
Good. I haven't seen him for some time. Probably under my bed. Film reviews and movie news. Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.